Let us pray. Most holy Christ, speak to us this night. And may we have ears to hear. Amen. Merry Christmas. Fear not. Those words appear tonight in the Gospel of Luke. And it may seem strange to you that I hone in on those words on this night. I tried not to, but they just wouldn't let me go. Fear not. In fact, fear not or do not be afraid appears many times in the Bible, hundreds of times. Fear is ubiquitous. It has been with us since the Garden of Eden. Whenever the beginning was for us humans, surely fear was present. Fear is actually a great thing, for with it, we tend to be more careful. It protects us in a sense. With absolutely no concept of fear, we may well not make it long in this life. We need to be fearful of some things, but fear placed as the primary motivator and determiner of our lives can become debilitating and death-dealing as well. I think this is exactly why fear not or do not be afraid are the words that begin so many angel appearances in the Bible, so many crucial and transforming moments in the life of Jesus and his relationship with the world. And his birth, his incarnation into this life, which we celebrate tonight, is no different. It starts with these words, fear not. Because all that this birth sets in motion can be scary. You might say of Jesus' life, it was filled with fear in the beginning and filled with fear at the end, and probably a lot in between. Fear is a human thing almost daily for many. Mary heard these words when the angel came to her. Jesus and many others used them. Fear not. Do not be afraid. I remember that pithy saying that fear stands for faith, false evidence appearing real. And of course, that is often true, but sometimes it isn't. We do, in fact, fear more than we should, often some really ridiculous things, but that doesn't diminish the feeling. Because fear is so universal, so real, we joke about it a lot. Laughter helps us let go of things we don't like or understand, like this one. So you know the fear of spiders is called arachnophobia. What is the fear of chainsaws called? Common sense. There is a thing called mephobia. It's the fear of becoming so awesome that the human race can't handle it and everyone else dies. We laugh, but we all know somebody with that. One person discussing unreasonable fear said, I live in constant fear that one day the true, quote, world's greatest dad will come to claim his rightful mug and t-shirt. The comedian Jerry Seinfeld once told a joke where he cited a truth that according to most studies on fear people have, the number one fear is public speaking, what I'm doing right now. And number two is death. Surveys have found this over and over. Public speaking, number one, death, number two. When Seinfeld tells this, he squeezes up his face and says, death is number two. Does that sound right to you? This means to the average person, if you go to a funeral, you're better off in the casket than you are doing the eulogy. Wow, even the children like it. That's great. And sometimes we misplace our fear, or fear gets in the way so that we don't actually fear what we should. There's a story of a man fishing off of Key West when his boat capsized. He wasn't that far from the shore, but his fear of alligators kept him clinging to the boat. Finally, he saw an old beachcomber on the beach, and he yelled at him, "Are there any alligators in this water?" And the old man shouted back, "None, haven't been for years." So the man let go and he started swimming to shore, and about halfway he yelled back at his new friend on the beach, "What did you all do to get rid of the alligators?" The old man yelled back, "Nothing, the sharks got him." When I go backpacking with others, it always becomes very clear that we all pack for our fears. If going hungry is our fear, we bring too much food. If getting cold is our fear, we bring way too many clothes. If getting wet is our fear, and this really happened, someone will bring a full-size umbrella on a backpacking trip. No kidding. He could not fathom being wet. We pack for our fears, and too often we live from our fears too. Our fears often don't make sense, but that doesn't make them any less real. Fear not. The angel's first words, fear not. I recently read where one philosopher had opined that fear is a choice, basically saying you can decide if you're going to have fear or not. And I have to tell you, I have some difficulty with that proposition. The first time I bungee jumped, standing backwards on the edge of a huge drop, realizing the person in front of me was about to push me off, there was no way I could decide not to fear. And that fear didn't go away even after my free fall started. In fact, it exponentially increased. When our son at age 3 had a massive seizure and was life flighted to a children's hospital, you could tell me all you want, don't be afraid. But no counsel in that regard was going to make my fear go away. So I don't believe you can decide not to be fearful. I don't believe fear is a choice you make. What I do believe about it is this: what you do with it, what you do because of it, how you live and act and live into it, that I believe is a choice. It is as Nelson Mandela once said, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave person is not the one who does not feel afraid, but instead the one who overcomes their fear." When the shepherds, minding their own business in the field, see the spectacle of an angel before them, and the first words from that angel are, "Fear not," I don't believe they said, "Oh, thank you, that's great. I feel so much better." To be human, they would have to be still fearful. But those shepherds did have a choice as to what they were going to do, not only in trusting those words, but also in the message that followed. They could have gotten lost in the fear of the moment and missed the message, the joyful news the angel was there to share. Carl Jung has said, "The most important thing about putting all of our hope in an infant is futurity." Futurity. In other words, the image and reality of a baby is a symbol of a future, of hope, of something beyond all of this. Also, pretty much none of us fear a baby. There are actually many infancy stories and many traditions in human history. Jung further brought to the fore that such infancy narratives as this one always arise in times of chaos, uncertainty, deep darkness, and despair. I honestly don't remember a time in my life where I did not hear, and it could not be refuted, that we live in trying and interesting times, or that the world is really in a mess. I truthfully believe that right now, but the truth also is it almost always has been. I've been watching on CNN the documentaries about the decades, you know, the 70s, the 80s. I still can't believe I lived through those, but one thing that always comes to me when I do is just how in every decade, every generation has had something real to fear. Of course, in our very human built-in exceptionalism, we always believe our time is the worst time. We believe that all we have to fear has got to be certainly worse than any other generation or any other people in history. But clearly, taking a realistic look, we would have to admit this generation is no worse off or better than others. Our world is a mess. There is a lot to fear about all kinds of things. Our very planet seems to be in peril, and if that's not an existential crisis and therefore a fear, I don't know what is. But maybe one of the worst fears of this generation, of these days, you and I live in, and come to this night and to this story once again is the fear we seem to have of each other right now. When I worry about fears, I worry about that one the most. The fear of each other. What this story tonight is all about is hope, is futurity. It's about something new being birthed into the world, something good, something beyond all of the futility that often plagues our lives. Jesus comes into our lives as a little child, helpless, born in a back room where animals lived, perhaps the least royal entrance possible. And yet that little child brings hope, a message of peace, changes the world, and gathers us here. And at least, it's my belief, is still saving the world now. Even Jesus will have things to fear in this world. Being fully human, fear had to be in him too. We will see that fear in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the cross, in his last breaths. Yes, this infant will grow into a man that essentially the ways of the world will despise and bring to an earthly end. The story of this infant life begun on this night is one filled with fear, but also of hope. And the life Jesus lives before our eyes is one that does not negate the fear, but does help teach us how to live with it, what to do with it, where its proper place is. In just a little while, on this very night, the lights will be brought low and we will sing Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright. I think this most beloved part of this Christmas Eve service is so because of what it sings of. A world without fear, a life without anxiety, a better future filled with our better selves. When we get through these next days, the world will go back to its worldly ways. The things we fear, reasonable or not, will still be with us. When the world starts up again, and those fears present themselves, you might remember the words of the angel, "Fear not." But even if you can't ditch the fear, which is a very human reality, I hope you won't stop there with the fear. But go on to hold on to the message that follows, the hope and promise and reality of that baby coming to this world, the hope in this night, the belief that all fears, all despairs, all troubles will at some point be a thing of the past. The shepherds were assured not to fear, and then they made a move toward Bethlehem, toward hope. In short, whatever our fears, in the end, love wins. That's what this night is all about. And as much as we forget, as much as so many attempt to rewrite this story, shape it into what they need it to be, even ignore it completely, it's really pretty simple. In fact, I could have probably made this sermon much shorter. For the message of the night is, fear not, love wins. The most important birth on this night is not what happened 2,000 years ago, but instead, because of it, what is being birthed in you and in us? Will it be fear or hope? I really think our future depends on the answer. My sisters and brothers, I wish you a Merry Christmas, one filled with hope, peace, and love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.